Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Welcome to our visitors and our live stream. And thank you for your patience for me to run back and forth. Well, if I was a lot younger, I could make this work a little faster. But if I don't, if I mic up the bell so you can hear it, and if I leave that going and then come here, this is going to be really super loud. So it's just a matter of controlling a little bit of things, and so we'll just deal with it. But I love to hear that bell, so we got to make that work. Praise God for prayers for Eli, doing much better. The medication has, they've got that tweaked a little bit better, and so he hasn't had a seizure. Is that correct? Yeah, so praise God for that. So today we have communion, and so we have, we'll have two people helping up here with Pastor. And so there's grape juice, there's the individual cups, and we also have the common cup. So you can choose how you would like to receive the communion. I was trying to think if I had another announcement. Oh yeah, welcome to Pastor George and Leslie again. And so God has blessed us in so many ways. It's just, if you knew how this planning, you know it's not me. I mean, because there is no, and my wife will attest to that I am not a planner. So you know God can take anybody and use him. So he's using me and all the pastors that come here. So last week after Pastor George, before he left, he said, I can do next week. And I said, we got it covered. That's all right. You just come on Ascension, and then for that Sunday, and we'll call it good. I talked to Pastor Scott Gould, and he said, we cannot make it in the month of May. I said, all right, I got it covered. So I called Pastor McNally from Wetseka. Oh, I'd love to help, but we have confirmation. Okay, now what? So now I've already stopped Pastor George from coming. So, got to make a call. Pastor George, what are you doing this Sunday?
Midweek.
Yeah, midweek now. We're talking, it may have, I think it was before Thursday, but not much, right? And so he's like, I guess I'm coming to preach on Sunday then. So thank you so much for that. And then we'll probably need you in June here too, so until our new pastor arrives, but since we're not sure of how that's all going to happen. But thank you so much for your support in this congregation. I feel like, you know, unity, division, I don't even know where those words come from, but I think division happens when you have doctrine issues. And this church has been unified, I think, the whole time. I don't think we've ever been where there hasn't been unity here, but without a pastor for a year, I feel like this congregation is just unbelievably in unity and one with God. So thank you so much for your prayers as we continue to lead through this service. And I'd like to welcome up Harlan Zebart and Bernadette Lowry for Youth Center Update.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to come. First of all, I want to mention Proverbs 22, verse 6, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he surely will not depart from it. And I've served with the Crossroads Youth Center in Melford for many years, and I just want to come before you to thank you for your financial support and as well as physical support in sharing of Jennifer Van Hovland and Tracy Sheriff as the members of the Board of Directors. We launched on a project of a new building because we had lost the building that we were using for quite a few years. So we prayed about it and thought it was feasible to build our own building, and then things that happened in the world that you all know about, and prices skyrocketed, and so we'll make it, but it's been difficult. I'd like to share with you who all the board of directors are for the Youth Center, for the Methodist Church Melford is Rod Burgett and Penny Cheever. For our Savior in Melford is Kendra Mortz. And as I mentioned, from your church is Jennifer and Tracy. An at-large member is Sue Cross from Melford. And from the Melford Christian Church is Tricia Huff and myself. The building progress has been very slow, but a very good reason for that is we have contractors who are donating their labor for free. And they have a business to run themselves, and they work on weekends and whenever they can get a lick in now and then. But it will happen. And Tracy has sure been a great warrior in reminding us that maybe this can't necessarily happen on our time, but God's time. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Tracy, for that. We are so proud to share with you today that we have hired a new director who's young and vigorous and really good with, we have many, most of our children who attend after school are grade school age and junior high, but it's really working out really well. When the building is built, we firmly believe that if you build it, they will come, and we are certainly very eager to get teenagers back to coming here later on. So, I don't mean to be a clown, but did I mention Proverbs 22:6? Thank you. I'd like to introduce Bernadette and just share with you a little bit of what she's doing.
I'm Bernadette Lowry. Thank you for having us here today. Just very grateful to have this position. It's been very fun, also learning a lot. So some of the classes we had so far were baking. Well, it was no baking class, so the kids got to decorate cakes and cookies. We've had an improv class, which was actually very fun. We've had a couple art classes. And on May 19th, we're hosting our first open mic night. So I'm encouraging kids to sign up, but also to participate if they have a joke or a skit of any type of improv or poetry, or if they're, you know, musically inclined, bring your guitar. Or we're also going to have a karaoke machine that they can do that as well. I have changed the ages just because my kiddos are young, so that way they can invite their friends. So it's ages kindergarten and up to 10th grade. I've been getting a couple classes ago, we had as many as 18 kids show up, which has been huge for us. So besides financially, a way you can help us is to like the Facebook page. Sue and myself, we are constantly updating classes and hours and things like that. For the month of May, our hours are Mondays and Thursdays from 3:30 to 5:30. And as I figure out the trends of scheduling, we will be open more days, more hours, things of that nature. And then also for just heads up, I've been getting some great feedback lately from parents. Just saying that they're happy that there's something to do after school. The kids are happy to come. I've had a mom tell me the daughters reminding their mom all week of the, you know, the hours and things like that. So very exciting to hear that positive feedback. So if you know of anybody in that age group, please send them by. Again, if you like the Facebook page, all the information is listed on that. So thank you.
I thought I was done, but to keep this unified church, I have been told there's a birthday. So Dennis Van Hovelen, you do not get out of us singing happy birthday to you. And I won't tell you who told me, but it was Dwayne. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get up there. So anyway, Nola, do you have that, or are we going to do it a cappella?
Well, we can do it a cappella.
All right, sing loud.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dennis. Happy birthday to you. Many more birthdays to. Many more birthdays to. God bless you and keep you.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Thank you. It is a joy and pleasure to be back with you again this week and to welcome you all here in our time of fellowship and our time of worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us pray at this time. God, we want to give you thanks for all that you do and the way you work in amazing ways that you have brought about this Crossroads Youth Center. And Lord, that you will continue to provide, even in these changing times, that Lord, you will be the great provider. And Lord, we would pray that you would use each of the individuals that are working to put it together, to help teach and to gather, and even each of the congregations that are a part of supporting that. To your glory, we would give you praise. We also pray for other groups that are starting, like LifeWise Academy, that are bringing the gospel to children. And Lord, we would just pray that you would continue to bless and draw the children to you, to raise up a new and faithful generation of kindness and generosity, and those who would stand firmly and planted on your word and in you at this time. And again, Lord, we give you thanks that you have given us this day. May our hearts be glad and rejoice in it as we have our time and fellowship. And Lord, we know your promise. As we are gathered, you are here amongst us. May your spirit move in each of our hearts and the minds at this time. Amen. Would you responsibly read our call to worship with me? I believe it'll be on the overhead or in your hymnal on page 137. That is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Do not trust in the princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Thy God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. At this time, may we lift our voices and make a joyful noise with our hymn, Love Divine, All Love Excelling.
Thank you.
It is at this time that I would ask that with humble hearts and turning to our Lord, we would confess our sins, either page 48, number 1, or on our overhead at this time. Gracious God in heaven, we bow before you to confess to you that we are sinned and done that which is evil in your sight. We have walked in pride. We have not been as faithful or forgiving as we would like us to be. Help us to show forth the fruits of your Spirit, the love, joy, and peace that you have shown to us. And forgive us for all our wrongdoing, even those stubborn habits that we struggle with. For we pray that in this, Jesus. Amen. If this be your sincere confession, if it be with a repentant heart you earnestly desire forgiveness for all of your sins for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, then God himself, according to his promise, forgives you all of your sins. And by the authority of God's word and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have the honor of declaring to you that God, through his grace, has forgiven you your sins in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit this day. Amen. Let us continue as we join wonderfully with all of our brothers and sisters around the world. Oops, never mind. Let's have our scripture reading first. A little grace, please. Thank you.
First lesson is in Acts. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Sicily and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they had heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him.
And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of the young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The epistle lesson is in 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Here ends the reading.
At this time, we will have our gospel reading from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Stand as you're able for the reading of God's gospel lesson today. Reading in Jesus' holy name. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. You do know him and you have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? And the word that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. And truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the work that I do, and greater work than these will be done, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Here ends our gospel reading at this time. Now we get to join with our brothers and sisters around the world in the confessing our faith this morning in the Nicene Creed, page 18 of your hymnal or on our overhead. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, and shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. And again, let us lift up our voices with our hymn, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, hymn 447. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you again for your word, that your word is truth, and that you speak to us through your word. And so, Lord, now we would ask that your Holy Spirit would move and anoint our ears and our hearing and our hearts to hear a message from you. May all the preparations and meditations of my heart be glorifying to you, O Lord, above all else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the message today is Believe in God, Believe Also in Me. And it comes from our gospel lesson of John 14, 1 through 14. More so focusing on just a few verses from that text. But as we begin, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. To understand that our risen Lord Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. And we come to the Father in heaven only through him, his dear Son. God is therefore glorified, honored in his Son. And those who believe in his Son and believe in him, this text tells us, will do the works of Christ, which ultimately and plainly is God's will. So I want to ask, how profound and how difficult is the human experience in an ever-changing world that seems, if we're honest, to trouble our hearts as we see headlines or we hear things each day? It is beyond, simply enough, our finite capacity to escape what seems to be at times an overwhelming weight caused by this rushing wind of change that continually seems to be stirring in our world and in our souls at times. Change in your families. Change that is in your communities. Change that we see happening throughout the world. And ultimately, change that comes to our church and our church homes. See, the turmoil of change, this stirring within us, it can burden us. It can make our hearts ache. And it is because simply we allow anxious and depressing thoughts to enter into our thinking. And these thoughts are intrusive because they attempt to cloud our view of God and who he is. But not only of that, but it helps us and tries to get us to cloud our view and judgment of other people. We are troubled by the allure of temptation that's all around us and the allure of sin. See, that's not to mention the seemingly downward direction that we see throughout our society is going. We are also troubled by the debilitating fear of the unknown, of what's going to happen tomorrow, what's just around the next turn. To understand that brokenness in the changing times contributes to our heart's despair. In troubles, it troubles us. And quite honestly, it breaks my heart when we hear of someone walking into a school and murdering teachers and children. It troubles us as we read about these extreme weather patterns of hurricanes and tornadoes that are destroying entire cities and communities, leaving families to mourn loss of loved ones, pets, and loss of everything they have worked so hard to obtain. It troubles us that murder today is redefined as health care, abortion, or physician-assisted dying, euthanasia. Our hearts are troubled by the indescribable selfishness and insensitivity and blatant evil that we see throughout our culture and our society. See, perhaps you are here this morning feeling a little bit of that weight, weighing you down by these changes and challenges maybe you're facing in your life, wondering, how can I maintain a calm and quiet heart through it all? How can my heart be at peace amid the chaos all around us in these changing times? Well, I always encourage we turn to Scripture, right? See, Jesus is going to give us more than wishful thinking in our text this morning. He reveals to us that regardless of our present circumstances or our feelings and emotions in the moment, we don't have to live in troubled and distressed hearts. Instead, He encourages us to fully trust in Him. And in Him and in Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God, we find peace, joy, and a hope in this changing world. In John 14, we find ourselves walking into the middle of a conversation. And as a result of it, if we simply look at John 14, those 14 verses, we miss the context of the conversation Jesus is having with His anxious disciples. See, in John 13, Jesus and His disciples are in that upper room, lounging around the table. They're celebrating what would be their last Passover feast together. And as they sit around this table with Jesus, the teacher, the great rabbi, He reveals to these 12 that one of them would that very night betray Him. Imagine how you would feel if you were one of the 12. Maybe you would have thoughts like, there's no way one of us will betray you, Jesus. Maybe it's one of those Pharisee guys. Or, you know, those Romans, they can't be trusted. But surely it wouldn't be one of us. See, Jesus, we have been with You for 3 years. Jesus, we love You. No doubt these men looked around the table, discerning what Jesus said. Is it Him? Is it Him? Is it you? Surely it's not going to be me. And of course it can't be James, John, or Peter. So who could it be? And the disciples' hearts are troubled, we know. And they tell them of the change to come. Jesus also, not only does He tell them of the change to come, but He then indicates to them that in fact He, their rabbi, the teacher, the Son of God, is going to leave them. Not only that, Jesus tells them in John 13:33 that where I am going, you cannot come. What? You can imagine, right? Where in the world is He going that we can't go with Him? Why is He going to abandon us and leave us now after all these years? And while the others are simply thinking of the questions, you know, Peter, I don't know about you, but I like Peter. He's kind of one of those guys that likes to put both feet in his mouth at the same time. And I can relate to him. But Peter interjects here. And he says, Lord, why can't I go with You? Lord, I will lay down my life for You. And to his surprise, what happens? Jesus looks at him right in the eye. And Jesus tells him, look, dude. Hey, Peter, I appreciate the sentiment, fat pal. But the truth is, you personally are going to deny Me 3 times before tomorrow morning. I don't know about you, but I can imagine Peter sitting back down at the table, shoulders drooped, his head down. And you know his heart's hurting. And the other 10 disciples, distressed, discouraged, and uncomfortable by the events that just have taken place. Not to mention, they are men who have an overabundance of other reasons in life and family why their hearts would already be troubled in the changing times under the Roman rule. And so, as they sat at the table in that upper room, the wind of change began to stir, and Judas leaves to go stab Jesus in the back and betray Him. Peter is told, hey, Peter, hey, buddy, you're not so faithful as you think. And guess what, guys? The time is coming that I'm going to leave you. It would be an understatement, friends, to say that you could probably cut the tension in the room with a butter knife, right? their feelings, their emotions, we could say, are buzzing and on high alert at this moment. But in this very moment, in this very trying moment that they have with Jesus, Jesus comforts them. Jesus does not rebuke them for thinking the way they were thinking, but Jesus comes to the disciples and he comforts them. John 1, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," is what he says. This is amazing, right? The fact that Jesus takes time in all that is going on and in all that is about to happen, knowing each and every one of the disciples' inner thoughts, their cares, and where they are. He even includes Peter, who he just called out, who would betray him and deny him as the Savior in just a few hours. He even comforts Peter. But also Jesus, we have to understand, is on the verge of experiencing something that you and I, because of Jesus, will never experience, and that is the wrath of God for sin. Jesus compassionately comforts his disciples' troubled hearts. And although their emotional distress and turmoil that you face today may not be the same, may look a little different than the disciples were going through then, the cure for your troubled hearts, friends, is the same. It's the same cure for them as it is for you in these ever-changing times. But the truth is, you will see that often, while there is a cure for our troubled hearts, the cure might not quite exactly look the way we expect or desire. You see, Jesus is not going to tell you or say to you, "Look, do not let your hearts be troubled, because I will always make it possible for you to escape or elude the difficult days that lie ahead." It's not said. He does not tell you, "Do not be troubled, because if you just muster up enough faith, you will be elevated above all the ordinary struggles of all these non-believers' face." It's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say any of that. And friends, as much as we might think or desire it to be so and think it would help us, it's not the answer. But this same thing is happening in the church today. People's hearts are troubled when we see the changing culture that seems to be pressing in on the church. It burdens and troubles our hearts when we hear of the apostate churches rising and gaining ground, it seems. It troubles our hearts when we look around to the pew next to us and see church attendance is down. Churches are in transition everywhere. Pastors are leaving. There is time spent without full-time pastors, and it's troubling when a few are answering the call into full-time ministry. And yet God has given to his church something great, something that will last beyond this world. And he has given to the church his word and the sacraments. See, that's it, friends. That through these means of incredible grace, God gives them to you. He gives them to create faith, to sustain us through all the changing times, to mature us until we gain that great salvation made complete face to face with Jesus. Simply, friends, we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent of fear and anxiety when we go through transitions. We need to repent when we think or worry that we somehow need to save this dying world, this changing world. We need to repent of acting as though God's gift through his word and sacraments are not enough today, or they are no longer the answer to all things of this life. We need to repent like little children and come to Jesus and listen with open ears and obey the voice that is through his word. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. So no matter what troubles you or worry in you, Jesus says, believe. And in all this, we understand he cried out on the cross, it is finished. He has done it all. Maybe this is a little bit of a facts here, but in the New Testament, there's roughly 250 times the word believe is used. And it is 85 times just in the Gospel of John alone used. And so I believe it is noteworthy, right? That to believe is important. Whatever it is you fear about this changing world, your community, the church, the answer is faith in Jesus Christ. In this sinful world, things change constantly. That is assured. And the answer is Jesus, the one who is constant, never changing. Troubled by rumors of wars, maybe, evil politicians and politics, fear of a global sickness, Jesus has died and he has risen for you to have hope. Believe. Troubled by the world climate and relations with Russia and China saying they're going to nuke us. Jesus has overcome the sins of the world. So believe, right? And troubled by the shortage of pastors and the decline of the church. Believe even more so in the promise of the Word and the resurrected Jesus Christ to provide and to accomplish all that he has willed. Believe in God the Father whom gave his only begotten Son for you, a sinner, to have eternal glory and eternal life. Believe Jesus was victorious over the cross and won a special place for you with him in heaven where he goes to prepare the mansion. Understand when you, a sinner, got wet in your baptism, Jesus Christ placed his name upon you. He has claimed you to be a sheep of his own flock. We will come to the Lord's table here shortly after this message, where Jesus again gives you his body and blood, whereby we know and believe that he has made full satisfaction for all of our sins to strengthen and preserve us in the one true faith into everlasting life. The simple fact of life is in this fallen, decaying world is this. It is constantly changing. In this sinful world, the times are always shifting. And we can be assured that the evil one is ramping up his efforts to draw you to away from God as the last day draws near. And as followers of Christ, as we joyfully, with an assurance in Jesus' finished work, we press forward to God's glory in this changing world. We have great hope in these things. We have a peace that surpasses all understanding simply because it is in the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus tells us something amazing in that last portion of our text in verse 12. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the work that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We rejoice that in Jesus' death and resurrection, and after the ascension, he is seated at the right hand of God, petitioning for you and I. For the last 10 months, you as a congregation have prayed and asked God to provide you with your next pastor. And as you have waited upon the Lord, we heard it from Tracy, and I believe it's true, God has provided for you each and every month and every week. Amen. And the joy that we had at the announcement last week that your prayers were answered because Jesus heard them and petitioned them to the God, the Father, to him be the glory. Amen. Amen. And we have faith in Jesus that he has died and he has risen for each and every one of you here. Those who are watching on live stream, those who are absent with us. Because simply Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever simply believes in him knows the Father who is waiting for us. And you shall not be put to shame, it tells us. Not now. Not ever in this changing world. Not even in glory. Amen. So let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. May the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds now in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we know you are the giver of all good things. Father, you are the giver of breath and life. You're the giver of all material possessions. And Lord, we ask now that you would bless these gifts that we return to you for your kingdom's work, that you would multiply them and use them to your glory and honor at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we know that you are a God who hears. You are a God who is at the right hand of God petitioning on our behalf. And that through your Holy Spirit's work, you continue to guide us and lead us and point us to you. And so this day we come to you and we lift up Juanita, Joanne. We lift up Diane. We think of Gordon, Rick, Logan, Carter, Linda, Tim, Norm, Wendell, Danielle, Robert, Diane, Randy, Gunner, and Casey, Michael, Ty, Ellie, and Delbert. We think of the dear little ones. Lord, as you are the one who brings about those great blessings of the dear children to this world and to each family, We think of the cradle role, Willa, Lane, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanne. We continue to ask that you would guide and lead the council of St. John's here, Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart. Father, that you would lead them and guide them in all decisions. We give thanks again for the work of the call committee, Warren, Nita, Amy, Cole, Carol, and Stuart. And Lord, we just come to you and ask that, Lord, as we had the opportunity to come to you in the National Day of Prayer, that we again echo so many of those wonderful prayers that were lifted to you as a mighty God. We pray that our nation's leaders would come to repentance, come to know you above all things, and that they would turn from evil and wicked ways and govern our nation and our people to your glory and to your honor. We pray for our world leaders that they too would follow suit in that same way, that you, by your authority, would work in them and to lead those nations in a godly way. Father, we pray and lift up our U.S. military men and women, and so many who have given their lives and give so much of their families to serve us and to protect us. Father, we pray for their families you would provide. We pray that you uplift them and continue to guard them. We think of the police men and women and the first responders, again, as I lift up them as they see sin's effect in our communities firsthand. Guard them, Father, and guide them. We think of the graduates that are advancing to higher education and to moving on to employment, that, Lord, you would continue to bless and guide them. We pray again for the AFLC. We think of the churches throughout our nation that are in need of pastors. And we pray that you would continue to work in the hearts of even these young men to be raised up to be leaders and shepherds in your churches and in the communities. We pray that you would advance all of these young men and women to your glory, to use them mightily in our nation as the next generation of leaders. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace and goodness and that you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each of us and all of our sins. That, Lord, you are the provider of all good things. To you we give honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you join with me in praying the Lord's Prayer at this time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we prepare for communion, and I invite all here, as you are a baptized believer of the Jesus Christ, and you believe in what his word says, that you are welcome to come and partake of the Lord's Supper today. And so, dearly beloved, as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should carefully examine ourselves as St. Paul exhorts us. For this holy sacrament has been instituted for a special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we do not examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but sin, death, from which we cannot set ourselves free. And the joy is that therefore our Lord Jesus Christ has had great mercy on us and has taken on himself all of our nature, and he might fulfill for us the whole law of God, and for our deliverance suffered death and all that we through our sins deserve. And to the end that we should confidently believe this, be strengthened by our faith, he has instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feeds us with his body and gives us to drink of his blood. And therefore, whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup firmly believes the word of Christ, dwells in Christ, Christ in him, has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him and of his death and how he was delivered for our sins and raised triumphantly for our justification. And with grateful hearts, we should take up our cross and follow him according to the commandment, love one another even as he has loved us. For we are all one bread, one body, even as we are partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. And so on that fateful night in that upper room, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, after they had eaten their meal, he then took bread, he broke it, gave thanks to his father, and said, "Take, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after they had eaten, then he held up the cup. He again gave thanks to his father, said, "This is the new and everlasting covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and shed for many for forgiveness of all of your sins. Drink of it as often as you do in remembrance of me." At this time, I would invite my communion helpers up. The Lord's table is now open.
Is it I?
Jesus Christ, who has now bestowed upon us his holy body and blood, whereby he has made full satisfaction for all of our sins, to strengthen and preserve you to everlasting life in the one true faith. Peace be with each and every one of you. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Father God, that you are the almighty and everlasting God, for having refreshed us this day with your gracious gifts. We ask again for your infinite mercy to strengthen our Christian faith, support us in the trials of life, and make us fervent in the love for you and for our fellow men through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. At this time, may you rise and receive the benediction for today. May the Lord bless each and every one of you and to keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you each and every day. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his heavenly peace, which surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, 397.
Serve the Lord joyfully this week.
Thanks be to God.